The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the queue. My name, of course, is Mark Bland. Tonight, the Hunger Games is creating quite the ratings controversy over in the UK. I said tonight, it's today. What are you talking about? I don't get it. We are going to do a summer movie preview, and I am joined by one Mr. Anthony Ace Cabral. Tony Cabral, it's time for the queue. Real Radio, Real Honest. Welcome to the show, sir.
How you doing?
It's been a while. We haven't had you on in a while. Last time we had you on, you called in via the good old Sundance situation. Mm-hmm. And how'd that go for you?
Fantastic. It was, of course, it's always a great learning experience. And this year I was actually fortunate to see a lot more movies than normal. Usually I'm learning more than watching. This year I got to do both, a little bit of learning, a little bit of watching. And, of course, I had a great vacation because I was kind of in the middle of a job. So it was kind of a...
Did you get picked up to... direct the next Saw movie? Because you know they keep saying there's the last one and then there's another one that comes up. Did you get picked up for that?
No. Saw is still not my bag, but go ahead.
Did you get the opportunity to option the rights to a prequel to the Godfather movies?
No. Is there a prequel for the Godfather movies?
Nope.
Yeah, okay. I didn't think so.
Maybe. It's good. Possibly. It's good to see you again. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate that. We're going to talk about some summer movie.
Sure. It's going to be a big summer of big films.
Okay. We're not going to talk about it right this second. I want to say that for a little later in the show. But I did want to find, like, do you feel that this summer's movies are going to be of the same? Like, I thought last summer's were pretty lackluster in general. Across the board. I didn't think there was a lot of smash. This year you got some big movies.
I think the thing that happens is it's always a roller coaster or, you know, a cycle in that respect. One year you're going to get a gaggle of really high-end, really good, or sometimes bad, big summer films. And then you'll get a year when there's absolutely nothing. And then you'll get another year where it's kind of in between. It's kind of median. You get a couple good ones. But you still kind of go, well, what happened that summer? Where was all the good movies? Because some of these big movies I know take 2 to 3 years to shoot, post-produce, and do all the effects. Because this year you've got some really big, high-end effects movies coming out. Between G.I. Joe, of course.
Pop them all now. We'll get to them. No. We can't just tell the people everything that's going on right off the bat. We have to work them up to it. You know, being the queue, we tend to be more of a political entertainment show. Do you see what I'm saying? We do a little politics.
And you're not the entertainment guy, so politics is still kind of a side thing.
Wow. This guy came on my show. All right. Shocked, well, we will talk a little bit real quick right off the bat.
Sure, what do you got?
Shocked youngsters are walking out of the Hunger Games as experts demand film certificate is raised to 15 over in the UK. Did you hear about this?
Do they have a different rating system?
Yes.
I think I'm kind of curious to the fact that they've got a different rating system. I mean, first off, the rating system in America, there's a lot of issues with it, especially with the film Bully right now.
I don't think that they have a technically different rating system. I think it's the same ages. They want this from, like, we have PG-13. I think they have something similar to PG-13 over there. They want it moved up to 15. Let me explain. Psychologists, child health professionals, and parents yesterday joined for calls for the Hunger Games to have its rating raised to a 15 because of its violent content.
Children, it is a violent movie, yes.
Yes, children who see the controversial film are at risk of having a disturbing scenes hardwired into their brains, one expert warned. Okay, you're one expert. Now, every time they say one expert warned, that's usually somebody that's already a little bit, woo-woo, you know, a little over the top on the juicy. You know what I'm saying?
there's a distinct difference. And in the same respect. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're fine.
Finish your notes.
No, you're fine. However, with concerns about the film's adult themes growing, at BBFC Insider has admitted that it remains a borderline case for a 12A rating. So they do 12, which means children aged 12 and over can see it alone, while younger children can see it accompanied by an adult.
Okay, 12A, hence. Okay, gotcha.
Yes. The movie about teenagers in a totalitarian future being forced to kill each other in gladiatorial combat. Of course, the guy with the speech.
It's a post-apocalyptic film, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Blah.
Was initially given a 15 certificate by the British Board of Film Classification, but this was lowered to a 12A after producers agreed to make several cuts in the film. So they already had a 15. They made some cuts to get it down to, like, the PG-13, 12A over there, you know. And so...
So, well, first off, is that saying that if they made several cuts to change the 12A to a 15...
Maybe their R is a 15. Maybe ours is a 17. You see what
probably,
I'm saying?
Probably. Okay.
Okay. Some parents claim their children had been left so distressed by the film that they had to leave the cinema early. One mother said, "The fact that you actually see kids killing each other, killing other kids, is something I would not want a 12-year-old to watch." Now, I agree with that. You know, at 12, no. You're starting to learn and understand the difference between life and death. I mean, you learn about the bunny and Bambi and all that when you're a little younger, but. It's given to you in a much more, Lion King, you know, it's given to you in a much more milked way. You know what I'm saying? It's sugared a little bit so that it doesn't come off so hard-edged. You don't see Simba's dad getting killed. Spoilers. You know, you don't see all that. But
these guys are so sick.
But in this movie, yeah, exactly. This is like Pulp Fiction for children.
But, well, no. Maybe? I mean, well, let's take a couple things into perspective. Number one, this is a film that, you know, if you look at what Twilight really is, yes. Twilight really is a kind of a gruesome book between vampires and werewolves fighting over the love of one woman.
Right, but that's more geared towards like 17-year-old kids, I would say, mostly.
Well, and in the same vein, same respect, that's what The Hunger Games is. Which, the whole plot of the movie is, it's a post-apocalyptic world where the United States, which is why it's funny that this argument's in Britain, is split up into... 12, I think it's 12 districts, and once a year, they have this reality-based
TV show
where they select one
like
boy
Richard Dawson
and one girl,
and the Running Man.
Kind of, yeah. They select one.
I always like
male,
top
one man and one woman
the
from
Chinese
each.
Chinese hockey player guy with the from the Running Man. You go ahead. Okay. Anyway, the districts, so they pick out two people from each district.
They select a boy and a girl of teenage age, and they go and they compete in the Hunger Games.
Sponsored by Aquafina.
Whoever wins the Hunger Games, their district gets more food, and their family gets a bunch of accolades and prizes, whatever else. But right. The kids do fight to the death. Very similar to, like you said, The Running Man, which they made it. But in The Running Man, the audience believed that the runners got prizes and got to go off. They didn't realize that people died.
Right.
There's no hiding the fact that these kids kill each other.
Right, because there's one winner.
Yes, there's one person who wins the Hunger Games.
Only one.
There can only be one.
Even
thank you, Christopher Lambert.
Even Ziggy, I think it's Ziggy, Z-Y-G-I, I'm going to say Ziggy or Ziggy. It could be Ziggy. Let's say Ziggy Kamasa, chief executive of Lionsgate, the company behind the film, said he would not let his 10-year-old daughter watch the movie, which he admitted had a lot of adult themes and frightening and gory scenes. Jeffrey Beatty, professor of psychology at Manchester University, says watching teens killing each other will have a stronger effect on the young people than the adult battle scenes. He said, if you identify with the characters, then it's going to seem more familiar and the things will happen and feel more visceral and have a stronger emotional impact on you, which I can understand. There is a danger that there is so much death or violence that teens become desensitized. Many have defended the film, insisting it reflects the difficult content of the Susan Collins book, which is based. But writing about the film on her website, bestselling author and pediatrician Dr. Meg Meeker said, "Kids process images they construct in their minds from written words differently than they process large, hyper-real images on the screen." There's probably some truth to that. Now,
sure, but I think, you know, the desensitization thing has been the argument in media for years now. Is the news desensitizing us to certain types of violence? Are the movies desensitizing us to certain types of violence?
Do you feel that that's the case?
Well, I think it is. I think it is the case.
I think we have become extremely desensitized.
I agree with that. I think we're incredibly desensitized
to the point where you can make a Saw movie.
Sure.
Like, literally, like, because you're not a big fan of what you like to call gore porn.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not.
And so Saw literally kind of falls, like, hostile into that realm.
Correct.
And I think that we have gotten so desensitized to the point where even the executives at these places are like, yeah, I'm willing to go forward with that. That's fine.
No, I think that's exactly true. But this is not that type of thing. I think what it is as much as, you know, we all, you know, I know that a lot of comedians make fun of the shimmering, you know, Twinkie vampires from Twilight. you know, vampires are still, you know, violent creatures in that scheme of the make-believe universe. And this in itself is now more realistic than Twilight was. This in itself is, you know, kind of the adventure action, still with violence, written, like you said, by Susan Collins for teenagers.
Well, here's the funny thing. You know, Kevin Smith, the director and actor, famous director and actor, made a very good point when I was listening to one of his recent shows that he has that he does. And basically he explained on there, he goes, listen, he thought that the idea of the Hunger Games was genius for the fact that if you just take tweens and put it into a movie nowadays, literally it's going to make money. Like any, like you could have the Running Man or Battle Royale or any of the movies that this is based off of, to an extent.
Sure.
But she's just like, okay, take the adults out, throw tweens in there, and we got it. We're done. You know, like it's the same idea of the Running Man with tweens, and she's pulling it off. And he's like, you know, I don't knock her for that. He goes, because that's a smart move. That's a genius move in today's era.
Sure.
With that being stated, though. Now we're starting, okay, whereas the vampire thing is a little bit older adults.
Sure.
In being vampires.
Sure. Yeah,
Edward is a younger guy, and the MTV culture is going to gear it towards 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old, along with 50-year-old mothers.
Well, it's the fact that you've got a movie aimed at kids that does have a lot of violence.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And
I think they're just taking one more step here.
Well,
you know, instead of just the idea that these vampires and the werewolves are going to battle, and it looks... See, I think that's the other thing. With all the gory battle scenes within the movie Twilight, in the different versions of Twilight,
I think this is
they have the werewolves in there. And the werewolves have the animal aspect of it.
Because it's fantasy?
They take that, they make it more fantasy.
Okay.
In this case, there's no werewolves.
Oh, no. This is completely realistic.
This is
realistic.
Just like human on human, and I'm going to stab you with a knife.
Right.
Like, I was recently... the guy who directed... saw 2, 3, 4, 5, Dan Brossard or Dan Bosond or something like that. He actually was recently talking about a situation he was dealing with. It had nothing to do with this. They were talking about like MPAA ratings and things like that.
Oh, sure.
He's talking
huge
about
issues.
A new movie that he's got coming out, and he spoiled the scene, so I'm just going to throw it out there, you know, because I think it's kind of pertinent to what we're talking about. It's a scene in an ATM. It's a movie called, like, Mother's Day or something like that.
Okay.
And the whole scene at the ATM is these two girls come up, and they kind of push past this guy who ends up being, like, a serial killer in the movie. So, literally, he decides to turn on these two girls at the ATM machine. He drops a knife on the ground, pulls a gun, and he says, one of you is going to stab the other to death in front of me, or I'm going to kill you both right now. So, like, that, like, tested horribly. No. The scene was the most memorable. It tested, like he said it was really weird. He goes, it tested highest and worst.
Oh, sure.
It tested highest and worst. It was the most memorable scene in the entire movie, but it was the one that got him the most, like, you need to cut that out of the movie.
Right.
Which is amazing to me, because if that's so memorable, you know, and that's the kind of movie you're going for,
because
a horror movie?
We've gotten to a point where horror switches into two sections of horror. One is you get the monster, you get the, you know, fantastical, you get the way off the deep end.
Did you just make a word up?
No.
Fantastical?
Yeah, like you get the...
I don't think that's a word.
You got Freddy Krueger,
you got
Jason.
Where did you go to college?
Missouri State University, thank you.
Southwest Missouri State. That's where he went to college. He didn't go when it was
Missouri State University.
It wasn't there. He went to Southwest Missouri State. Anyway, go on. Jason, Freddy.
So you've got your monster, you've got your killer who's supernatural, killing people or whatever else. Then you end up with the more, on the other side of the horror genre, you know, over here you like scary, fear of the dark kind of thing over here. Then you have this hyper-reality of like Eli Roth and Hostel and Saw and James Wan, and you in that same respect where it's like, this is so realistic. You get to the point where, like you said, guy drops a knife in front of two girls in ATM and says, one of you two is going to kill each other or I'm going to kill you both. So you end up with this, like, that's not a guy who's going to come kill you while you sleep, or, you know, the dead kid comes out of the lake and chases you around Crystal Lake Park. This is... That could happen anywhere.
Now,
that could happen down in St. Louis, in Los Angeles.
Here's an interesting argument.
Anywhere.
Here's an interesting argument I want to bring to the table on this. Is the idea of the movie Lost Boys back in the 1980s.
Okay.
You had a young cast, all teenage heartthrob-based
sure.
characters. We had the Frog Brothers, which happened to be the two Coreys. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a very young,
I always forget his name. In 24.
What's his name?
Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer Sutherland. Young Kiefer Sutherland. Young Jason Patrick. You know, a very, like, hot movie soundtrack that was very memorable. You know, it was based around the 80s and that whole boardwalk scene in California down on Santa Monica Pier. So it was very much alive with the time, pop culture-influenced type
very
movie.
Pop culture.
And there were some extremely grotesque scenes within that movie.
Sure.
Like, especially, like, at the end, spoilers again. But here's the thing. If you haven't seen Lost Boys that came out, like, 25 years plus ago, then you're an idiot, okay? I'm done. I'm just literally. Wait, came out in 85 or 6, 7?
It something was a while ago.
87. But so, in yeah, in 25 years ago. 25 years ago, a movie came out. I'm going to spoil it right now. At the end, when Grandpa comes through with the truck and the spike goes through the chest of the vampire, Kiefer Sutherland, as he's jumping in midair. You see what I'm saying?
The main vampire, right?
The main vampire. Like, or, yeah, the main vampire. I'm sorry. That's a very grotesque scene.
Which we did
scene.
Not give away who the main vampire is.
Well, that, but that's a very grotesque scene.
It's very grotesque. But then again, look at this. You've got movies from back in the 80s.
But they were heartthrobs, teen posters.
Like Nightmare on Elm Street, which, of course, was an early
but see, okay,
Johnny Depp.
Different story.
Johnny Depp
wasn't famous yet.
Nobody in the movie was famous.
Slow down.
So these old movies that are, in quotes, grotesque, that nowadays people who watch horror movies today, like these rather realistic violent movies like Eli Roth movies and so forth, the gore porn, as I refer to it, mm-hmm. people who watch those old movies and laugh at them. They're like, oh, it's so cute and so funny, and oh, look, he's gonna kill him, and oh, don't chase me with your knife fingers, Freddy. It's like
it becomes hysterical because
it's almost fantastical.
Where do you think we changed over then? On a personal note, in the history of movies over the last 25 years, where do you think the changeover was from a movie looking back that far at it, you think of as cheese, and now,
at the time,
like, 25 years from now, they'll look back at these movies and they won't think cheese?
I think it was just technology and special effects got better. I think it was, you get to something at the point, I mean, you got Seven. Seven technically is not a horror movie, but it's a thriller. And in a thriller, you've got incredible realistic special effects. And technology with special effects has gotten so well, you're going to inevitably get people with that creative mind as a filmmaker or an auteur, if they want to call that, where they go, hey, we're going to take something that's rather violent, and because the special effects can make it look real, when we put it on screen, it's going to look hyper-realistic. And that's what you end up with. Technology got better. People learned to take the special effects makeup and the technology of the special effects, the ability to clean things up, make it look even more realistic.
Right.
Put it in a storyline now of somebody who's violent. Mm-hmm. And you end up with that hyper reality, but I think a better case to discuss the same concept is you've got a movie out there right now called Bully. You've got this documentary about bullying.
I've heard about that, but see, I think it's geared towards parents more than
the movie's geared towards kids and parents to discuss this concept of bullies in America.
That's a Weinstein film, right?
It's put out by the Weinstein Company.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, the movie discusses this horrible nature. I mean, coming from somebody who got bullied as a kid, I know all about this.
I couldn't tell.
The movie...
I couldn't tell that you've been bullied.
Thanks.
Okay.
The movie discusses how bad this bully culture is. I'm not going
to
talk about that. The movie discusses how bad the bully mentality is and how this is destructive to kids, because the movie talks about a kid in the movie who kills himself because he can't take it. How kids can be so violent, and the kids at that age are still trying to become young men and women,
right,
that they can't handle it. And kids these days now are getting so mean with what they say. There's kids that are taking
their lives. Oh, it's
Facebook. There's kids that are taking...
They've taken the filter off because of Facebook and social media.
A lot.
Now they can hide behind their computers and their keyboards.
Well, there's that.
And then when they walk outside the front door, they think that it's okay to still do it.
There is that. But even before that, kids were getting to the point where it was that bad. And the problem is, the MPAA gave that film an R rating, restricting its content.
No different than they did to one of the other movies, Kids.
To Kids.
Back
as well.
In the 1980s or
1990s. Kids, though, was a little different. Kids, though, was a very graphic, racy depiction of what kids do when they are kids. This is a documentary.
Oh, this is an actual documentary.
This is a documentary about this, like, the impact bullying has in today's society that should be watched by everyone to say, look, this is how bad it is.
Did you watch it?
I have not seen the film yet, no.
Okay. It is getting set to come to St. Louis, and I hope to get my, you know, get out there and see the film. So they gave it an R rating, and everyone, there's groups out there right now determined to get the rating repealed to a lower rating so more people can see the movie openly. Like,
see, I don't think that they should do that. You know what my honest opinion is at that point? That's one of those movies where you just send it straight to video. And you put the marketing behind that. And let the people go to the store and pick it up off the shelf and watch it that way. Or straight to video on demand and stuff like that. I'm not saying
absolutely not.
No, yes.
Because here's the thing. Okay, we're discussing right now.
Wait. Before you've been talking for a while. I'm not knocking you down. You've been talking for a while. Everyone can see we can rewind the video here. Rewind whatever we're doing. Okay, I'm not trying to knock you down. In that case, it's a documentary.
Sure.
It's not meant to be like the Avengers. Okay, it's not meant to be put up in a fantastical manner for everyone to try to get that money off of the teat of America. You see what I'm saying? But like, it's not designed for that. If you really want to make an impact, you could put up the same marketing dollars and do it video on demand as well as on DVD.
I just, as a filmmaker, I will tell you that that is full of BS.
Because, first off,
I'm sorry.
I need to get a filmmaker on my show eventually. So that I could have this conversation about these movies in The Hunger Game, honestly, with someone who knows what they're talking about. I don't have that opportunity right now. I have Tony. He's a good friend of mine, and I love him to death.
But I am a filmmaker. And as a filmmaker in a professionalist industry,
I forgot.
I can give you this exact opinion. Let's not discredit my reputation and experience, please.
I love it.
Like, just because it's a documentary does not mean it needs to go straight to video.
No, I'm not saying because it's a documentary it needs to go straight to video. I'm saying
basically it's like this.
If you're having this
stop
over here.
Stop.
No.
The studio cannot market this film to high schools, to universities.
Right.
To those audiences where it needs to be seen and wake up. They just changed a law over in England at certain schools and grade schools where they made having a BFF. Mm-hmm. Which I think this is a bad concept, but they made it where having a BFF is against school policy because everyone should play and they're trying to take away the click factor.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous because people are going to have clicks and they're going to have their friends and whatever
else. All right, bringing that
up. But the concept of having kids that beat up and single out one or two kids and make their life hell needs to end.
Okay. Stop. We understand. Trayvon Martin's killer needs to be brought to justice.
Well,
kids getting beat up.
Let's not discuss that. That's a totally different monkey than I
want. But my point is this, okay? If you are going to have this argument with an illiterate, moronic board that is going to judge your movie based up off of the situation, okay? Based off the situation. And it's going to become a problem. Why don't you just stop right there? Mm-hmm. Say, screw the movie theaters. We're not going to go to you. We're not going to even worry about your board having to judge whether I do it. Because everyone's got iPhones. Everyone's got iPads. Everybody's got TVs. Everybody's got Blu-ray players. Everybody's got video on demand. Netflix, all of that. I'm going to take it there. And I'm going to put it out that way.
Except for one minor detail, and then I know that it's about that time.
Okay.
Theatrical distribution, regardless of how large or small it is, regardless of the type of film, drives DVD, Blu-ray, VOD sales.
Put it out with a rated R, and then straight to video.
R-rated film cannot be marketed to high schools.
But it doesn't have to be. That's my point. When I can walk through Walmart on my own and just grab a DVD because
but
they're selling it there,
boom, done.
But if you're
16 years old, you can't.
Yeah, you can. Like,
if
it is Walmart not that
sells
serious.
An R-rated film to a 16-year-old,
that's it. I'm done.
They would get...
We're done. I love you. Go ahead. Finish your statement. The Walmart 16-year-old. I don't want you to cut your statement off. Go ahead. Finish.
It's about that time here on the queue.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on the queue. And when we come back, more with Mark and Tony Cabral and the summer movies, hot summer movies for 2012 coming up. We're going to discuss that. And yes, he is a filmmaker. I love him to death. We'll be back on the queue right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Cube. Of course, Mark Bland joined with Tony Cabral today, and we're discussing movie MPAA ratings. Tony had some serious issues as a young child getting bullied at school. He is a very big fan of the movie.
We were discussing the Hunger Games.
You made a point to let everyone know that you had been bullied when you were a kid.
I made it a point that the MPAA's rating system.
Have you been bullied when you were a kid?
I was, yes.
Okay, what was the worst thing that ever happened? Did they give you a swirly?
Oh my God.
No, did they ever give you a swirly? Like, did they ever, like, give you, okay, no, wedgies? I gave you wedgies.
Oh my God.
Everybody gets wedgies.
Why are we discussing
Everybody
this?
Gets wedgies. Come on, like, come on. No. Everybody gets wedgies.
Why
can't you just calm down? Come back down. Come back down to earth.
What's your topic, Mark?
I want to talk. No, I'm just.
We're not going to discuss me getting bullied in high school.
Dude, you got very angry and animated about the bully situation.
Well, and no, I'm up in arms because I don't feel that this movie deserves an R rating. By taking its rating down, it can be seen by more people. It has more of an impact.
But you're missing the point. It gets out of the theaters, you just want to argue with me. But we could literally take
the rating. Dictates where it can be screened.
You know what this did? This
an R-rated
you
film.
You have access to cameras, right?
Of course I do.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. With your access to cameras, what we are going to do is we are going to turn around, all right? We're going to turn around, and we are going to take those cameras, and we are going to film, okay?
Film what?
Film us taking a 13-year-old boy to a local store, like a Walmart or something else.
Well, okay. This is the great debate about a kid that could walk in and buy a copy of The Deer Hunter, and they say how The Deer Hunter completely is such a violent movie. The problem that you run into is...
You know what? I got an even better idea. Okay. We'll take...
The point is, the filmmakers who have a story that needs to be expressed and told... How many the kids that need to see that movie and the damage they're doing to the other kids around them that might not be completely aware of the damage they're doing to the kids around them? Like, I to this day have people that come up to me that I went to school with that literally have used the phrase, "Dude, I'm sorry, I don't know why we did the things we did." Okay, the kids did that to me now. I'm sorry, the kids that did that to me when I was in high school.
Okay.
Or the kids that are doing that to kids now in high school or grade school. The kids that need to see the movie are not going to go watch that movie. Because they think they're better than that. Okay? But if the film is brought to high school and said, you need to watch this as part of this class, they would watch it.
Now, there are rated R movies that do get shown in classes. For many years, The Lord of the Flies, the movie Lord of the Flies,
sure.
was rated R. And it was shown in high school classes.
And,
I actually
and
was
in
a student
order to
it.
See that film, because of its rating, all these release forms had to go home and parents had to sign off on it. And there was kids that would be excused from class on those days because their parents did not authorize them to watch a rated R movie.
All right, fair enough.
The rating can mandate and dictate who can see a film. What they're saying with the Hunger Games over in Britain is, hey, this is a pretty violent movie. Maybe it should have a stronger rating than a PG-13. But the studios, who have a lot more control and influence over the MPAA, say, oh no, we'll give it a PG-13 so their audience can do it. There's a fantastic documentary called This Film Is Not Yet Rated that discusses how the difference between an independent film and the MPAA's rating office, which, of course, one of the greatest
we get it, we
in
get
America,
it. We get it.
Is who are the raiders of the MPAA.
Fine, we get it. We
the
get
studios it. Have more of an influence and get what they want more than an independent documentary.
Tony, I got you. I agree with you. That's fine. Let's move on.
You've been arguing with me for a while. Fine,
we're
go on.
Move on. We're going to move on to a different topic.
Then don't bring up a topic that I can discuss.
This into the ground. It's, like, ridiculous, okay?
Why is he on iWatch Radio?
People are taking out student loans to pay for kindergarten. Did you hear about that?
Oh, of course. There's kids that, yeah, that's been going on for, there's like I just remember listening to some, to an actress who had moved. Oh, the girl from Will and Grace. What's her name?
Megan Mullally?
No, the actual Grace from Will and Grace. Had just moved to do her show Slam.
Oh, Deborah Messing.
Yeah, Deborah Messing.
Deborah Messing.
Moved to New York for her TV show, of course, Slam, you know, getting produced by Steven Spielberg.
Right, but she's rich.
And
like,
she
I don't care
fought
about that.
For weeks to get her kid into grade school in Manhattan.
Right, but I don't...
Even saying, does it matter that Steven Spielberg's my boss? And they were like, no.
Well, wait. Was it a public school or was it a private school?
I think it was just a public school.
She had to fight for that?
Because it's that difficult.
Okay, here's the thing. Listen to the story. Stop interrupting. And stop. Yeah, stop. This qualifies as a bit of vague, not totally well-established in a statistical way trend, but the fact that it exists at all for one single person in America, I believe, is newsworthy, Tony. Okay. I do believe it is newsworthy. Sure. Families are taking out tens of thousands of dollars worth of loans in order to pay for private kindergarten for their whelps. That is some bad stuff. Let's just be honest. That's some effed up stuff. I'm no human calculator of financial wizardry, but if you are taking out loans for private kindergarten, then you will also have to take out loans for private elementary school and private middle school and private high school, and you better hope your kids get some crazy super scholarship to college that includes a check for $100,000 because it will have a crap load, and I mean a ton, worth of loans to pay off before the kid even gets onto the campus.
These are parents that are praying that their kid is going to end up at a great university and their kid's going to have a great high school education, which should lead into getting good enough scores on their tests well enough to get a good academic scholarship to get into a good college, hence their college is paid for.
Okay, hold on. But let me finish my story.
I'm sorry.
Let me
go ahead.
No, you don't. Mm-hmm. Apologize.
Go ahead.
Just seems like a lot of loans to the point that you are surely financially illiterate to a criminal degree. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
You see my point? I mean, honestly, that's a lot of loans. Like, financially, people are not being helped properly at that point. You see my point? Like they're not, they're mentally just so worried about, now, if you're rich and you can pay those loans off, mm-hmm. so be it. But we understand in the context of the social culture that we live in, right? There's competition.
Parents,
and the mom who makes $70,000 a year is not going to be able to take on Deborah Messing. Because Deborah Messing's got way more money. That's all I'm saying.
But in that respect, but hey, let's look at this in the same respect. Okay, parents want their kids to be better off than they are.
Right.
They want their kids to advance and to succeed.
Can I ask you a question? Do you feel you went to a private high school in St. Louis?
I did.
Okay. And we're not going to name the high school. I'm just going
to
say.
I went to Chaminade. Who cares?
Oh, fine. Just protecting your anonymity because I want to make sure that no one can see you.
They can Google it and find it on Facebook. I went to Chaminade.
I see. Okay. All right. Do you want to throw your Facebook out there?
Facebook.com.
/.
Anthony Cabral. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Okay.
AceFilms.com. What else do you want to promote?
All right. Okay.
Anytime
we want to get back to the show,
AceFilms 1.
You just let me know when we're getting back to the queue.
So what's the point here? It's the same thing as a parent who takes their kid out at the age of 4.
I had a question for you.
And starts teaching them golf.
I had a question for you.
Wants them to be Tiger Woods.
Do you feel that going to the private school that you went to, that you got a better education than, say, myself or other people who went to a public institution? Do you honestly feel that? Because I don't think that, like, I think it's always going to be within the student.
It is. It's all about the student. And personally, do I think, I feel that I could have done just the same if I went to Parkway West or Lafayette.
Fair enough.
Friends
Fair
yes.
enough. Okay.
Now, do I think that having the name of my university helped the fact that, I know that my test scores might not have been as great as other places. I think that the name of the school does help get you in places. I do agree with that.
Okay.
Plus, I do think that, sure, I look back at what classes I had offered to me in high school, and I do think some things it might have been, in some classes, some certain categories,
right,
might have been a better education than other places.
Okay.
Or I might have had certain things available to me that you guys might not have.
Right, fair enough.
But, overall, kind of fair. But if a parent wants a kid to go to a private school, especially one like Chaminade, that's
should they have to take a loan out?
No,
it's kind of ridiculous.
But at the same time, it's like, hey, you know what? I could pay for their education now in high school, and then hope that their education and their academics and their desire to achieve allows them to get the scholarships for college.
Well, there's an interesting question that just popped into my head. Do you feel that there's an overvalue in education? Do you think that they overvalue they overvalue what it's worth?
Oh no, I think that we have enough problems in this country being able to educate everybody properly. I think that we need to give more emphasis to education.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, they overvalue it. They're like, well, our private school's worth $10,000. But the truth is that I could take the same 20 kids from the public school that's failing miserably and losing accreditation, put them into the $10,000 school, and they're going to have the exact same issue.
No, they won't.
Yeah, they will.
I don't believe so.
Oh, I totally.
I don't believe that at all. And I think what it is because in a private school, teachers are paid better.
But it's on the student. Like, I can take
the
smartest kid.
Do I feel so short?
You just said it. Dude, I'm a tall guy. I'm a big guy. Listen, you just said it. That you felt if you would have been in a public school,
but that's because I was a mediocre student. I was a kid who didn't care.
That's my point. That's my point exactly.
But
it's all on the
if
student.
If you take the kid,
the kid goes to a private school, from the public school to the good private school,
who's a little hellion,
right?
Or doesn't care,
and you put him in the private school.
Feels like
same
this.
Exact result.
No.
He is not going to pass the classes, or she's not going to pass the classes.
Because I feel
because the student is getting the same education and the same things allotted to them, but they're not putting in the time and effort.
I don't believe it. I don't. Dangerous Minds. All these things. The concept that
those are movies.
Teacher. Because based on true events, if the teacher cares and gives a hoot what the student does, then the student will inevitably learn something. When you've got a teacher who gets paid what they feel is a better rate and they feel more invested and they have a small enough class size that they can actually show the student more assistance, you end up with a better result. You get these schools now. These teachers are making such little money;
right.
They don't
care.
Oh,
I agree. Teachers definitely need to be making
they're
more
like,
money.
Oh well, you know. So these five kids over here,
$24,000 a year is not worth my life.
They don't matter. They don't care about learning. Right. They don't understand that 2 + 2 = 4, and they don't understand how to build a sentence. And they think that their broken English or their street jargon, you know, they can't pull their pants up properly. Who cares? They don't matter. It's the same when you get these little redneck kids. You know, running around on their wife beaters, and they can't, you know, and they barely have teeth in their mouth, and they don't matter. They're not going to learn.
At AceFilms1, Twitter.com.
But the bottom line is, when you have teachers who care, they embrace the kids in, and they make sure they understand these concepts.
Okay, you are just way over the. Okay, we're just going to have to agree to disagree, dude.
No, because
like it just
one of the things that helps with a school that costs that much money. Okay, yes. From my personal opinion, yes.
Right, because you are a good student. So you're going to take what you applied as a private student into a public situation and apply it the same way. Therefore, you, no matter who's telling you the information, you'll read the books the same, and you'll do the things the same.
There is to some degree.
There are some teachers
If I took my apathy for learning.
But you have to generalize it. You can't just, like, there is a great teacher at almost every school. But
sure.
Not every teacher across all seven of them is going to be great.
No,
so you have
but
to generalize it. You have to take your abilities and put it into that because not all seven are going to be like the teacher from Dangerous Minds.
Right.
Okay? They're not going to be Joe from Lean On Me. It's not going to be that way. So.
But what I'm looking at in that same respect, though, is if you've got predominantly a base of teachers who feel they are paid adequately,
right,
and they care and stay involved with their kids,
yes,
because they're not overwhelmed
there
by having
be,
50 kids to a class.
There's a percentage of bump there that probably could
you
help.
You show
out.
More interest and more, you know, more desire to make sure those kids learn.
Right, but I don't think it's that big of a change. Is my point. I don't think it's enough to literally overwhelm this situation to take a bad kid, put him into a private school. He's still going to come off with D's. Maybe not
no,
F's,
I don't
but
think
D's
so.
Or C's, possibly.
Because I think that the educators would invest more time in going, why do you have this problem? Why are you getting D's?
Okay. All right.
A lot of those kids who have D's, they just don't care about anything.
All right. Well, you know what?
You need to get them to care about something.
Listen, the beauty of the queue is the fact that two people get on here. They discuss these things. Sometimes they agree. Sometimes they don't agree. That you get two different sides of the viewpoint, and it's worth it. So, like, you know, and there's listen, as the host of the queue, I never knock a person for having an opinion opposite of mine. I don't knock them for who they are as a person. If you agree with them, that's great. I would love to hear what you guys have to say.
See him off the radio when he does care and he won't shut up about his opinion.
I'd love to seriously have you all go to thequeuenow.com if you get a chance. Hit me up on the contact page. Let us know what you thought about this. Where do you stand? Do you stand with Tony? Do you stand with me? Where do you stand? We would like to find out.
If educators cared, our kids would be smarter.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Let's talk about summer movies.
Do we have time?
We got some time. We got a few minutes here. Let's go into this. Another summer.
In like 4 minutes?
No, because that's... what. I'll run the show. Thank you. Okay. Here's the deal. Another summer movie season filled with sequels and remakes, of course, and still lots of 3D. Can't get enough of that good old 3D.
Yeah, yeah.
3D wolf movies and everything else. The Avengers kicks off on May 4th, and the season climaxes on July 20th with the release of The Dark Knight Rises. But I don't think that July 20th would necessarily be the climax. Oh, I see. They're saying the climax, the biggest pop of the summer will probably be The Dark Knight Rises. But let's kind of break these movies down. We're going to go by month and week by week. And we're going to talk about the movies a little bit and let people know what we think about them. May 4th, The Avengers, of course, Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Thor, Captain America, all the great actors that were in all those movies, all together. What? May 4th.
It already started. Like, Hunger Games kind of was the beginning of this big
season. No.
Because you've got...
Summer movie season. Stop. No. This is not summer movie season. Everyone knows that summer movie season starts in May. It always has. You and me went and saw Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, or whatever it was, the Skulls, the Crystal Skulls, right? That was May.
Sure.
Those are May movies.
So May
is when the summer movie season starts and always has officially started.
So
Hunger Games don't count.
So the big blockbusters that are going to...
I got them right here. Let me just break them down and we'll go back and forth.
Well, I was just going to list off the ones you're going to miss between now and...
Okay, well, let me get through these and then we'll see which ones I miss, okay?
Sure.
Fair enough. We got May 4th, The Avengers, Incredible Hulk, Thor, Captain America. I already said all that. Robert Downey Jr., Chris Hemsworth. What do you think? You think it's going to be a huge blockbuster?
It's The Avengers. Of course it will.
But do you think that they're going to beat it down? Like, I didn't think Captain America was all that great. A lot of people were like, oh, it's fantastic. Now, it was beautiful. It was filmed beautifully.
No, I mean, you've got all the movies of the different Avengers that leads up to this.
True,
of course. You have a fan base from all these different characters that leads up to one movie, The Avengers, which is why Marvel is so much stronger than DC, because DC keeps screwing themselves over with not being able to build a proper franchise that lasts and goes anywhere.
Okay. I'm going to name some movies off. I want you to do... No, I'm not blowing you up. I'm going to name some movies. I want you to tell me which one is the one out of that lot that everybody needs to see. The week of May 11th, Dark Shadows with Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter, and pretty much every time that... Tim Burton gets together with people, puts his wife in a film, and it's Johnny Depp.
She's a good actress.
She is a good actress. I'm not knocking her for it. The Dictator with Sacha Baron Cohen, coming back on that end. And What to Expect When You're Expecting, based off of the famous book with Cameron Diaz, Isla Fisher, and Jennifer Lopez. Out of those three, which is the one that you're
I would go see Dark Shadows. I think the world should boycott Sacha Baron Cohen. I think what he did at the Academy Awards was ridiculous. And
get over it. Over yourselves.
I think the guy gets a little. He's a little.
Bela Lugosi laughed at that guy.
He goes too far.
Vincent Price laughed at that guy. Like, Jonathan Winters is a respected actor and has been in a lot of great movies. He would have laughed at that guy. Like, you guys are just. Jack Nicholson was sitting there laughing at that guy. He didn't care. Dude, you guys are just taking yourselves way too seriously. May 18th, Battleship, big movie. You got May 25th, Men in Black 3. Mm-hmm. And June 1st, Rock of Ages. Interesting twist on Rock of Ages if you haven't heard about it.
Now,
Tom Cruise,
yeah,
singing.
But that's over two weekends, though, because first off, Battleship and Men in Black 3.
Right.
That's a hard one because I would probably go see both of them. I would almost like invest the money
in
a Saturday.
Why would
you
go see Battleship? I think that Battleship is going to come off, and this is just personal opinion. Everybody's got their own. I think it's going to come off overbloated like Pearl Harbor did. I think it's going to come off overbloated.
I don't see an overbloatedness. Well, first off, I have my own connection to it. I have friends that worked on it.
That's great.
And I have friends that worked on MIB3.
I'm sure that you're going to get way more Twitter followers just because you mentioned that. Keep going.
But, yes, follow me on Twitter, please. And so shameless
ego,
plugs. Ace Films One on
so much ego, it's ridiculous.
I think both are going to be part of that. A lot of these big summer blockbusters are meant to be these over the top, explosive films that literally like throw you out. You know,
if I had to choose between these three, I like musicals. I'll probably see Rock of Ages. I like Rock of Ages.
Now, Rock of Ages is its own interesting concept, which is not like a big explosive. Summer night movie.
It is because of the way that they filmed it. Have you seen the trailer for it? It's great.
Sure. And coming out in summer is kind of surprising to me. I figured it would have come out in the spring or in the fall when it would have a better chance to succeed. Because I think that in the dead of summer, Rock of Ages is going to get left in the dust.
Also on the same weekend as Rock of Ages is Snow White and the Huntsman. Decent movie. Kristen Stewart, the Charlie's
Theron. That movie will... Snow White and the Huntsman, much like Mirror Mirror, that is coming out in the spring that you're not talking about because you're not discussing all the movies.
Calm down.
I think Snow White and the Huntsman is going to destroy Rock of Ages when Rock of Ages could do well if its release date was different.
I think it's just the fact that Tom Cruise is singing and everybody knows that he's still trapped in the closet. June 8th, Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted. Big kid movie. Third one in that, and then Prometheus, the prequel to Aliens.
Supposed prequel.
It's Ridley Scott.
Sure, it's Ridley Scott, but that's the thing.
And he directed Aliens, and he says that it's the prequel to Aliens, so I'm going to go with what Ridley Scott says. I mean, he is a famous director. He did direct Aliens, and he says Prometheus is the prequel. I can't really knock the guy when he tells me exactly what it is. But I would like, so, out of those two, I'm going to see Prometheus. Prometheus looks like it's going to be that movie that catches, like Fast Five was last year. I think that Prometheus is going to be this year. The movie that catches heat and ends up being really, really, really well, does really well at the box office.
I'll tell you, beyond what people expect. For the weekend of June 8th, I look at the fact that the film that's going to win the box office is going to be Madagascar.
Of course it's going to be Madagascar.
Because parents take their kids and whatever else.
Of course.
All the single adults will, and especially sci-fi geeks, will race out, which I am a member of the sci-fi geek category. I'm not discrediting anybody. I'm that way too. Will race out to go see Prometheus because they want to see if Ridley Scott was right. Is it a prequel to Alien?
That's why I think they're going to find out that it is. It is a prequel to that entire trilogy.
Because isn't
group
that
of
the ship that they find?
Yes,
this is Prometheus.
Right, but that's my point. I think people are going. It's like Fast Five last year. It's going to be that movie that no one expected to do great, and it ends up blowing out the summer and doing great, like fantastic, good money. Next up, that's my boy, Jack the Giant Killer, and Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Well, you're jumping ahead. This is the next weekend.
I'm not worried.
Just go 2x2.
Okay.
So that's my boy.
Right, with Adam Sandler and Andy Samberg. And Stanley Tucci, Ewan McGregor, and Bill Nye. I always forget how to say his name. I always find it interesting how to say his name. Anyway, Jack the Giant Killer.
Not Bill Nye, the science guy, the other Bill Nye.
I'm going to go with that's my boy. I think Andy Samberg and Adam Sandler is going to be interesting.
I think that's going to be a really weak weekend. I think that that's going to be a weekend that Prometheus still does really well, that Madagascar does really well still. But the next weekend, two movies do open, and this is why I wanted to wait, because this is the weekend that a new movie will take the top of the box office. Because that weekend you've got two movies. You've got Brave, which is a very kind of underrated little animation film, but the film that's going to take over the top of the box office is going to be
Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. Yes. And everybody wants to see it because they took the word Vampire Hunter and put it next to the name Abraham Lincoln.
Well, no, because the same writer who wrote Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Oh, nobody knows all that crap. That's your problem. The lady who lives in a trailer park, who's smoking a pack of Marlboro Reds a day, drinking her sweet tea from Nestle, and watching her Judge Judy all day long, all she hears is Abraham Lincoln and Vampire Hunter. Like, she's not like, oh, by the way, that's coming from the director of this and this
no,
and this.
No, sure.
And
It's executive produced by Tim Burton.
So let me run down the rest of these since we only have a few minutes left.
Yes.
Okay. Let me run down the rest of these movies, and let's just pick out a couple of the big ones that we really think is going to be huge.
Sure.
We got Brave. We got G.I. Joe 2 Retaliation with The Rock.
Blockbuster.
Amazing Spider-Man.
Huge blockbuster.
Not as big as Dark Knight. I don't think it's gonna get up there.
We haven't gotten that far yet.
Ice Age Continental Drift, I think, will do better than Madagascar.
Yes, because it's Ice Age.
I think it's Ice Age. Ted, from the creator of Family Guy, Seth MacFarlane, Mila Kunis, Mark Wahlberg's in that. It's a comedy, and it's an animated. So, could do well. It should be. It's going to be
sorry,
more.
Sorry, Seth. Got to say no.
All right. Dark Knight Rises, of course, comes out
July
20th.
That'll be the one.
That's going to be the one that everybody is literally already lining up for. Here Comes the Boon, Kevin James, Salma Hayek. Not really worried about it because Kevin James has been kind of flopping with Zookeeper and all that lately. So not thinking about it. Born Legacy, interesting. Jeremy Renner takes on...
I think that will do very well.
Okay, Total Recall with Colin Farrell. I think that there's going to be like that niche to... I think it's going to have the same run that last year's Fright Night did. I think it's going to be people who...
Bombed horribly.
Right. People who remember the original Total Recall are just going to find out if this is up to par or anything worth their time.
I think the people are going to be like, this is a joke. They're going to wait till video, and they're not going to even want to spend the money to theaters.
So. Dogfight with Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis, probably going to be pretty funny. The Expendables 2, huge. It's going to be good. I mean, they're going to bank off of the first one. Paranorman is the absolute last one that I got on there. Stop-motion animated zombie flick about a misunderstood boy who can speak with the dead and takes on ghost zombies and moronic grown-ups to save his town from centuries-old curse.
It's a kid monster claymation kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It is.
But I think the big kid movies are going to be Ice Age and Madagascar. I think the other big movies are going to be Dark Knight, of course, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, and the Amazing Spider-Man. And I think that the movies left in the dust are going to be, obviously, like you said, Total Recall is going to get left in the dust. I think Rock of Ages is going to get left in the dust because they're, you know, I mean, Total Recall should never have been remade, but that's a different story.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to get out of here on the queue. I want to thank Tony Cabral so much for joining me on the show tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, or today, you know. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Don't forget to go to theqnow.com. Check out theqnow.com. Make sure you check out the old episodes, the new episodes, find out a little bit about me. If you want to donate to the show, contact the show, whatever you want
to
do.
Tell him to put a link to everything with me on there.
Put a link with everything to him on there. Whatever I got to do. There, ladies and gentlemen, this has been The Q. Thank you so much. We'll be back after this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. Of course, Mark Bland joined today, of course, and as you always know that I am always coming to you from KYRO Studios, 1280 AM, and just had Tony Cabral on. Love Tony, great guy. Of course, that was a heated discussion that me and him just got into, very heated, heated discussion, but we move on with the show. The Q moves on because The Q waits for no man, and that man that is now coming in that it is not waiting for any further. Returning to The Q once again. You guys love him. I love him. We all love him. Matthew Krueger. What's going on, Matt?
Hi there.
How have you been, man?
I've been really, really well, actually. I've had an amazing week.
Now, you were on the debut show for The Q.
I was.
On
thank
the station,
you very much.
Stuff like that. But you're back now to chime in and give us your two cents on everything that is going on.
My two cents on The Q waits for no man was... You were like, oh, now Matthew Krueger. I thought about just maybe giving you like 8 seconds of silence.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying.
Making you wait.
Well, no.
But then I figured, oh, that's unprofessional.
Well, of course, you don't want to be unprofessional.
Of
by
course
any means.
Not.
Now, have you been?
Never.
Quick question for you.
Yes, sir.
In between the break, I was sitting here kind of typing around on the computer and reading up on some things. And we talked about on our other show, Savage Vibrations. About mm-hmm. The Trayvon Martin situation.
Yes, sir.
With the young man that got killed by the gentleman down in Florida.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily call him a gentleman. I guess I should rephrase that. He's not quite a gentleman anymore.
The dude.
The guy who shot him and killed him.
Yes.
Well, evidently there is a new saga unfolding slowly behind the scenes of this entire Trayvon Martin situation. Could you guess? Would you be willing to guess at what that potentially could be?
I'm going to guess that the person who shot him...
Uh-huh.
Does he have a criminal record?
Well, he does have a criminal record from the past. Involving weapons, from what I know, but that's not
really
that's not the thing. That's not the thing. But he does have that. That is true. Also something else that popped up. That's not the thing I was gunning for. There's one other thing I want to jump in here with. Also, one of the things that came out originally when he was talking to the police after the killing of Trayvon Martin. Supposedly there was a scuffle that ensued. He got his nose broke. He was bloodied. Things like that. Well, video surveillance has come out. And video surveillance has shown that a Mr. Zimmerman walking into the police station with no blood, no bruises, no nothing on his face or his body whatsoever.
So he went home and cleaned up.
No, I don't think he went home and cleaned up. I mean, there's certain details that are just not going to probably come out about, like, the moments after the shooting, when the cops arrived, who they talked to, how they talked to him, you know, all
okay.
that. It's probably not
going to
come out. But the bigger tragedy here is now besetting upon one famous candy company. And that candy company tends to make Skittles because Trayvon had gone to the store.
He was carrying
Skittles as well as
a sweet tea,
as well as some tea from a local convenience store.
Okay.
Well, evidently having people spontaneously talk about your brand on social media, Matt, sites is not an advertiser's dream after all.
Okay.
Unless it's because your product happens to be linked with the Trayvon Martin shooting on Twitter, people are demanding that Skittles issues a statement on this hot button issue, accusing the company of profiteering off of extra publicity from the death and even threatening boycotts of the candy company.
They did nothing.
They did. See, that is the problem with our society, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, so because they haven't issued a statement addressing anything about the Trayvon Martin, people are going to boycott because they're profiteering.
Right. They feel that because of
if they were issuing statements, that would be profiteering.
Right. Well, no, listen. It far be it from me to accuse the right, especially the right media, which tends to be the thing. Like, I always get into this argument with people. God. They're always like, the media is controlled by the left, by the liberals. It's always liberal media. This, and my argument's always been, who are the most famous radio show hosts and media hosts in the United States?
Well, you have Sean Hannity.
Republican.
Bill O'Reilly.
Republican.
And Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck, Republican. Oh, Rush Limbaugh, Republican.
Rush Limbaugh. You could make
an argument for Howard Stern, but he's kind of in the middle.
Yeah,
he's
I was going to say Mike Savage and Mark Levin.
Now, you do have some on the other side, like Bill Maher. You got, you know, what's his name over there at the Daily Show? Jon Stewart.
Jon Stewart, Jon Stewart.
You got Rachel Maddow, but you have some now that have kind of
Keith Olbermann.
But as far as the main players that are getting national attention week to week and day to day.
What's that other guy's name that has nose broken like last year?
Anderson Cooper?
Yeah, that's him.
I don't know. Anderson probably, I don't know what Anderson's real affiliation. I would tend to believe that Anderson falls more to the right than to the left. But, you know, I could be wrong about that. Anyway, regardless of that, you know, there's always this claim that it's the liberal left media that's always trying to create all these policies. Well, the biggest harbors of this situation have been the right side of the media. Okay. Your Fox News and people like that, which there's no hit on Fox News for that. But at the same point, you make a great point. Skittles did nothing. Skittles just happened to be the candy that he bought and that was found on his persons when he was found by the police dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Skittles is not running around putting out Trayvon Martin Skittles. You know what I'm saying? Trying to like
packages with his face
on it like that.
They're not printing his face on the Skittles instead of the S.
Yeah, like exactly. You know, this is like a box of Wheaties here.
However, that might be a genius idea.
I don't know if I'd go quite that far, but regardless of the situation,
you know, M&Ms can make you personalized M&Ms.
Where do you stand on this? I mean, there have been a lot of people there have been some tweets that have gone around that have been very famous to this situation. You know. People saying things like, at Skittles, are you going to donate some of the money or start a foundation with the money you have made from this travesty? Like, as if they got up on a pulpit and said, this is great business for Skittles.
Like, tons of people are going out, like, hoarding Skittles now because Trayvon had a very unfortunate situation happen to him.
This one says, I'm not dumb, at CNN and at Skittles need to step it up for the Trayvon Martin. Otherwise, we need to boycott their services straight up.
Okay, so what's the expectation that the company who makes Skittles is supposed to do? What kind of statement are these people looking for?
I think that Skittles is like, we had fun talking about Mike's Hard Lemonade in the past in regards to Ketchup Predator, and that was on one of my recent episodes of the Q.
They should be thankful for the business.
Right. But no, like my argument was always the fact that if you're the head of Mike's Hard Lemonade and your stuff is constantly popping up in the bag along with condoms on a To Catch a Predator show as Chris Hansen takes down pedophiles,
right.
You're probably not extremely excited about that. You know, that's not a thing. Like, you don't want Mike's Hard Lemonade. Stop saying Mike's Hard Lemonade. I don't like pedophiles. Like that's probably what's going through the mind of the owner of that company.
You can always have the idea that any publicity is good publicity.
Potentially. Potentially any good publicity is good publicity. But in this case, they're trying to make it like this is the biggest problem with society nowadays. People try to take something that is not over here. They try to create the problem and then have a reason to bitch about the problem that they created.
Mm-hmm.
We are a society of problem creators for no reason whatsoever. Skittles, it could have been Reese's Pieces. Then it would have been Reese's that's getting all these death threats and boycotts and all this other crap. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not fair to Skittles to take it on the lump on this. And Skittles shouldn't have to say anything about Trayvon Martin getting killed. Do you see my point?
Right.
Like Trayvon Martin just bought a pack of Skittles because he likes Skittles. It wasn't like he went to a couple parties before he got killed and was like, Skittles! Yes! Skittles! Taste this rainbow, ladies and gentlemen! Taste it! Taste the rainbow! I'm Trayvon Martin and I speak for Skittles. That's not what was happening.
Yeah, he's not a spokesperson.
Yeah, he was just running down the street with Skittles in his hand when the situation popped off. Real simple. I think that Skittles is doing exactly what they need to do. We're going to stay out of this. We don't want to be a part of that. We don't want nothing to do with that. We don't care about what's going on with that. It's just one of those situations where I don't understand why we have to worry about Skittles so much. And here's the one I really love right here. I mean, this is crazy to me. This person says, I hate to say it, but at Skittles sales must be skyrocketing due to the unfortunate death of Trayvon Martin. why would people think that Skittles is getting like super like, okay, all right, okay. Let's play this out for exactly what we like Occam's razor, right? The simplest, most direct idea probably is the most correct in your mind.
Okay.
The people who are writing this probably think that because of the racial orientation of the situation, that people that don't like black people or don't like people of color or minorities who might find it cool that this situation happened. I don't find it cool. Matt, you don't find it cool.
No.
You know, this is not a good thing. But they're probably thinking that those people are going out and buying Skittles up just to, like, kind of throw it in everyone's face that, yeah, this happened to somebody, you know? Okay, that's just like, general off the top, the only thing that I could even think of in direct relation to how Skittles might benefit from the death of a human being off of Skittles. Now, okay, if it was a famous person.
Okay.
Like a really famous person. Not saying the Trayvon, he's gotten a lot of media attention. But let's say it was like Jack Nicholson choked on Skittles what happened. He choked on Skittles and died from that. Then I can see potentially the idea of people trying to like, oh, look at me, I'm Jack Nicholson. Oh, I got Skittles. Oh, I'm going to die. You know, that's some stupid like that. I don't see that with this situation. I don't see like people running out to buy Skittles and being like, this is for Trayvon, because that's not a good thing.
No.
Like Trayvon's not up there looking down going, yeah, that's right, buy some Skittles, because I loved having them in my hands when I got shot.
Now, let's say, like, Hot Topic comes out with a t-shirt that has Skittles on it and says, I eat them for Trayvon.
Now, see, that's just wrong. That's just, okay.
That's wrong. That's profiteering.
That is profiteering. That's kind of, okay, you're saying.
I don't see Skittles doing anything even remotely close. They're not doing anything. And here's one thing that we're not thinking about. Why aren't they going after the iced tea maker?
Arizona? Yes, I don't know. Maybe it was Arizona. I don't know. I would assume that it was Arizona. I mean, that seems to be the most popular type of tea out there. I could be completely wrong about that situation.
Could be, what's that, Golden Leaf? Or Golden Peak? Gold Peak?
Could tea? Be Gold Peak. I just don't understand, like, we take things completely out of context, run with them, right? Mm-hmm. And then throw ourselves in front of the bus on them on purpose just so that we have something that we can complain about.
Now,
I don't know, man.
Do you know who Bobby Rush is?
I have heard of Bobby Rush. If I remember correctly, Bobby Rush is a congressman of some sort. Was he the congressman a couple of days ago that wore the hoodie thing?
He is.
Yeah, I heard about
He's the Illinois representative, Bobby Rush, a Democratic congressman, and he was ordered to leave the House chamber on Wednesday because he was wearing a hooded sweatshirt in honor of Trayvon Martin.
See, here's my problem. Here's my problem. That's an issue.
Now, do you think... Now,
I understand what he's doing. He's trying to wear it to support.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think it is in bad taste?
Yes.
Do you think it is a violation of the freedom of speech to boot him out of Congress? Not boot him as in like, not fire him, but to remove him from the chamber, ask him to leave.
This is kind of starting to go down that road of we're creating a problem to have a problem. Do you see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Obviously, Bobby Rush knew by walking in there wearing a hoodie that it was probably not proper dress code, and he's been on Capitol Hill long enough to know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now we understand where Bobby Rush is coming from. Bobby Rush is trying to be that guy who's going to jump out there in front of everyone wearing the hoodie in front of Congress to show solidarity and support for Trayvon Martin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not thinking that this is where we need to be going. Maybe this is where I think that's in bad taste.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that we need to be wearing hoodies to prove a point. Like, I don't think, like, I think that there's certain things that are associated with this that we're not thinking about yet, but they're going to become, as this becomes a more hot button topic, it's already hot. As it becomes a more hot
all
button,
over the place.
As it becomes a more hot button topic, what I'm thinking that we're going to see here is a problem with neighborhood watches.
Mm-hmm.
People who are part of neighborhood watches, first off, neighborhood watches have been around for years. Lots and lots and lots of years. And with them being around for lots and lots of years, they've done a lot of good. One bad apple can spoil the bunch. I get it. And it's not the first neighborhood watch person who's got a shady past that's done some negative stuff while on neighborhood watch duty. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can understand that entire situation. Unfortunately, we are beyond that point now. There's no going back. So now as neighborhood watch things create themselves, it's either you're doing it as a joke and people are going to look at it in the negative in the wrong way. Like, here's the problem. The minute that something poisons the water, everything is subject to scrutiny at that point.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what anyone does or says. So if I have a neighborhood watch that has been working for my community for years and years, now the scrutiny immediately hits me of how many George Zimmermans do you have on your neighborhood watch, huh?
Mm-hmm.
How many poor black kids are going to get shot, or how many poor minorities, or how many people's houses are going to get broken in on purpose because the neighborhood watch is just like George Zimmerman over there. You see what I'm saying? Like, they just create the problem. And our friend Bobby Rush, and this is why I brought this up, and or you brought this up, but this is why I'm keep going for it. Mm-hmm. Our friend Bobby Rush here, he's showing solidarity. He's trying to show support for the situation. But by doing this, he's kind of taken the spotlight and put it on himself.
Okay.
Do you see, like, that's not a good thing. Like, maybe Trayvon didn't want people to run around. Like, we need to think in terms of what this 17-year-old kid who got killed would want. Like, I know he's 17. He doesn't know exactly what he wanted in life. And now his life's been completely taken away from him. He doesn't have it anymore. But maybe he didn't think that. Maybe that wasn't even his preferred style of clothing that everybody's, like, you know, just getting behind and stuff like that. Maybe he just happened to be a little cool out and he was wearing one.
Right.
You know, how many people out there wear hoodies on a daily basis? Now, if you're white,
if it's cold, I have hoodies.
If you're white and you're not,
hoodies.
If you're not a minority, if you're on the other side of Trayvon Martin and his race, his color and anything like that. And we're being very blunt and honest here. If you wear a hoodie and you're white, oh, well, you can't do that now. Why can't I do that now? Because I'm going to find a reason so deep on just you simply wearing a hoodie in cold weather to try to turn it into something that it isn't.
So Bobby Rush, in part of his speech, says that racial profiling has to stop. Just because somebody wears a hoodie does not make them a hoodlum, which I think is an awesome play on words. However, racial profiling has to stop. Zimmerman is a minority.
Yeah.
Trayvon Martin is a minority.
Right.
If either one of those people were white,
this wouldn't even be a topic.
Let's say the victim.
It would not be called racial profiling.
The victim is white.
Right.
And the perpetrator is also white.
Yep.
White on white crime.
Yep.
It's a non-issue, right?
It's not only a non-issue. It would have never been brought up. You could have worn a hoodie. That person could have been wearing clown shoes. It wouldn't have mattered. They could have been eating Skittles or Reese's Pieces or anything. It wouldn't have mattered. This wouldn't even have hit the news. This would have just been killing number 71 in the city of St. Louis, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
That's it.
So let's say this. Okay, Zimmerman is a Latino minority. Trayvon Martin is an African-American minority.
I spoke illy about that on my show last week when I was on here, because I said that, you know, my argument last week was very simple, because you weren't there. You didn't hear the show.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what I told everybody last week was that because the name George Zimmerman doesn't sound Hispanic, it doesn't matter whether he was Latino or white or any other color than black. Because the minute, all that's going to be remembered is the name George Zimmerman, not his face and not what he looks like. Trayvon's face will be remembered, and the picture of him in the hoodie as a black young teenager is going to be remembered for a long time. It's going to be put on T-shirts and everything else, like he's running for president in 2008.
So let's say George Zimmerman's name was
Juan Marcel.
Yeah. Or let's say it was, you
just
know,
using that name as a throw out there.
Let's say it was Kobe Bryant, you know, like, I don't know. I'm having a trouble thinking up of an ethnic name, but let's say.
His name was Juan Jorge.
Yeah.
And Juan Jorge killed our friend.
And it was a black guy, and Trayvon's a black guy. So now you have two black guys, one who's a part of the neighborhood watch, who's trying to protect the neighborhood
right
from another black guy who just so happens to look like a hoodlum.
Okay.
Is that still racial profiling?
Yeah.
Like, you have the black guy profiling another black guy?
Of course it is. Of course it is. It is every single time. The problem is that as a society that likes to create its own problems, we will put the kibosh on what we don't want to care about. We have selective...
let's not pay attention to that part of the story.
We have selective everything.
Yeah.
Okay? Selective memory, selective hearing, selective whatever. So, if this would have been a situation where a black man who was working for the neighborhood watch happened to run up on one white kid or a couple of white kids and gun them down with the exact same style of phone call and everything like that, they would have never turned around, because the minute the white people or any other race other than the black people, and I'm not against black people. And here's the thing. I am totally for George Zimmerman getting arrested. There is tons of proof, okay, that this guy basically murdered this kid for no reason whatsoever. Right. I don't even care. I don't even care if this kid would have attacked George Zimmerman. The kid didn't have a gun. I understand the stand your ground rule down in Florida, but the kid didn't have a gun. Right. It would have been a fist fight. And in a fist fight, yeah, bad things do happen and people do die, but probably the chances of that happening are less than 5% at that point. There's a 95% chance it would have been a fist fight between George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin, and that would have been the end of that.
Right.
But it wasn't. It was a situation where he said things on the phone. He was told by police to stop following the kid. He admitted that he was following the kid and going out of his way. When you're the neighborhood watch guy, and I said this on the last show that I was on, you know, you don't have any law that states you should do the things that he did. Basically, what your job is to watch the neighborhood, and if you see something suspicious or something you don't like, you call the police.
Yeah.
Which he did do, but then he stated that he kept following him. Okay?
After they told him not to.
Okay, I understand it's a gated community. And maybe Trayvon came in through a back gate behind somebody's house and just started walking down the street because it was a shortcut to his house. If the kid's just walking down the street and he's not carrying a flat panel TV on his shoulder that's like 47 inches, that's obvious that he shouldn't be walking down the street late at night with a flat panel TV. Or like, remember my stories of Axeman on Savage Vibrations?
Yes.
Like as long as you don't have a guy carrying an axe down the middle of the street at 11:30 at night, that looks odd. So then, yes, there might be some warrant to make a statement or to say something or to try to do something, not to the extent of killing, but maybe calling the police, or you like the situation with Axeman popped off.
Keeping a tab on the guy.
And for everybody out there that doesn't know, there was a situation in my own personal neighborhood within the last year and a half where a gentleman happened to take a double-ended 4-foot-long axe and walk down the middle of a quiet suburban street at like 11:30 p.m. It just looked odd and out of place. It wasn't that it was illegal for him. And listen, I didn't go run. Or any of the other people that I didn't even call the people that called police. I didn't go running after the individual. Hey, I'm on the phone with you. Yeah, there's a guy carrying an axe down the street. Oh my God, it just seemed odd and was out of place.
Uh-huh.
The guy walked past my house and walked completely past me as I smoked a cigarette. Very simple. Like, there was no like up in arms crazy crap. This guy went after this young 17-year-old kid just going after him in a more private community than what I live in.
Oh, yeah.
At least in my community, in my neighborhood, it would seem potential that there's a lot of people that could come down my streets that could be of ill manner.
Yes.
Okay? In a gated community, the chances of that happening are pretty slim. Most of the people walking down those streets are the people that live in there. And that's probably George Zimmerman's background on the situation in the first place. Here's a kid that I'd never seen walking through this neighborhood. I'm doing neighborhood watch. And, you know, but what gated community needs neighborhood watch that bad? You know, that's one thing. I'm not going to defend George Zimmerman by any means. He deserves to go to jail. He needs to be arrested. But my point is what gated community is so bad that it needs a neighborhood watch that's when it's gated? There has to be something to these surrounding neighborhoods.
It is my assumption that any gated community doesn't exactly need a a neighborhood watchman, you know, a security guard, basically.
Right.
But I'm guessing, however much you're paying the homeowners association, you're paying for a peace of mind.
Of course,
you're paying for somebody to keep tabs on who's coming in, who's leaving, and if there's white panel vans driving, you know, down that might break in. You know, next thing you know, you got the Wet Bandits from Home Alone.
Okay, there they are, Home Alone, the Wet Bandits, Joe Pesci and the tall guy,
Daniel Stern.
Yeah, Daniel Stern. Good call. City Slickers in the house. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. But no, I get your point. You know. These people pay for a peace of mind, and I understand that. But at what point is the boundary line?
Since when did gated communities become more dangerous than the hood?
That's my point, and I don't live in the hood, but my neighborhood has a chance with it not being gated and being where it is in the St. Louis area. There's a better chance for, you know, like I said, people of ill manner or somebody.
Mark, you've had your car broken into in your driveway
by 12-year-old kids.
I didn't kill them.
Yeah, I walked out and caught the kids in my car. They're 12 years old. I guess I could have pulled my knife out and just started stabbing them.
And been on the phone with the cops. I'm
in the middle of stabbing these guys right now. Could you send somebody over? Like, I'm taking care of business.
I think we're going to need an ambulance.
Yeah, I think we're going to need an ambulance. Like, I could have done that, but I didn't. They were 12-year-old kids. They got scared. They ran away as soon as they saw me, of course. And I did the old man type. Well, you know, I'm not
you
that
old. You went over to the parents' house. I was
yelling at them, hey, come back here, blah, blah, blah. And they only got some change out of my car and some CDs, and I didn't care.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I cared, obviously, because I don't want my car broken into, but regardless of that fact. Anyway, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break here on the show. When we come back, of course, we're going to have more talk about this Trayvon Martin situation. We're not going to be eating Skittles. We're not going to be profiteering for Skittles in the break.
I won't be drinking any Arizona iced
tea. Yeah, it's not going to
be
happening.
However, I'll probably be drinking some Folgers coffee.
Oh, that's delicious. All right, we'll be back on the Q right after this. Welcome back to The Q, theqnow.com, where you guys need to go to and find out everything about this show, as well as if you want to get in contact with me or Matt or anybody like that, you can always go to theqnow.com. We have a contact page if you want to talk to me about something that you're interested in bringing to the topic, as far as like something, an event that you're getting ready to put on or something like that, you think that I need to know about, you would like to like broadcast that on The Q, get a hold of us at theqnow.com, plus past episodes, future episodes, The Q Uncensored, 1 hour weekly show that I do over at iWatchRadio.com, like that. All that good stuff at theqnow.com. We've been talking about Trayvon Martin. I'm joined by Matt Krueger, who's sitting here with me. And did you get your Folgers?
I did, actually. It's very delicious.
It's delicious. Hey, let's move on. Let's change topics here for a real quick second.
Sweet.
You know, obviously that was a good break there with news and all that. So baton-wielding ninjas foil medical marijuana delivery.
What?
Oh, yeah. A medical marijuana delivery in West Covina, California was foiled early this week after two men dressed as ninjas and wielding martial arts batons approached a delivery man and stole a bag of cash and product. Somehow, the police are taking the dispensary worker's allegations seriously and not just as a burnout lying his way out of a jam. Yeah, man, these ninjas, man, you know, they came out of nowhere, man. That kind of thing right there, you know. Because I can only assume that if you're... Well, then again, you know, medical marijuana is very prevalent over in California.
Okay, yes.
You know, so, like, it's probably a legitimate business now. It's not just, like, burnouts that are, like, driving pounds of marijuana from one place to another for no reason other than the fact that they want to be able to smoke weed. Do you see my point?
Right.
The two ninjas were dressed in all black and had masks over their face, were carrying a tonfa, a specialized martial arts weapon. The San Gabriel Valley Tribune reports that the police are not aware of any other recent crimes involving suspects dressed as ninjas. So if you lost a lot of medical marijuana in the Los Angeles area recently, there's probably there's an idea, man. There it is, right there. That's some serious stuff. Like, you dress up as a ninja with a baton to steal medical marijuana and cash. It was just a robbery is what it sounds like. That's all it was. A straight-up robbery. Like a foiled, like it said, it was a foiled, was foiled, a medical marijuana, medical marijuana delivery in West Covina, California was foiled. But since it's legal, not illegal, it's legal in California for medical marijuana, why would a delivery be foiled? Do you see my point? Like, I don't.
How did they hear about it? Did they come about it by crazy random happenstance? And they just so happen to be dressed up as ninjas?
Probably. I would. I mean, I can only imagine where...
Like, hey, Doug. I got a good idea for the day. Oh, yeah, Tom? What's that? Let's dress up as ninjas and go walking around. And then, you know, 45 minutes later, my God, Doug, you guys, do you see what they're doing over there? That's a medical marijuana transfer. Let's go stop them. Really?
I know.
There has to be more story to that.
I'm just assuming that, like, well, that's another thing that's really interesting with our society now. We take the most mundane, run-of-the-mill stories. Like, okay, we're talking about the Trayvon Martin thing. That's a big thing because of the implications of a young man having his life taken away from him against his will in a situation that seems a little iffy at best. Okay? That makes sense that that would make the news. Right? Mm-hmm. We take things like literally on a day-to-day basis, they are so... Okay. Check this out. Think about people who write television recaps for websites and blogs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? How useful is that literally going to be 20 years from now? Seriously. Like this day at this time, I was blogging about Dancing with the Stars for my whatever magazine or website that I work for, that I get paid for to do this, right? Mm-hmm. I watch every single episode, and then I recap the hour-long episode detail by detail from my opinionated point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But 20 years from now, no one's even going to care. Nobody's still talking about Richard what's-his-name, the naked guy from the first season of Survivor.
No.
Nobody's talking about the side characters from then. Nobody's going out of their way to look back. And if they wanted to, it's already there in Wikipedia, probably.
We had a guy win Survivor right here. Right here from the city I live in Wentzville.
Did he? Really?
He won Survivor. My brother went to school with him. And you know what? Nobody talks about it. Nobody cares.
I didn't even know it happened. And I live in St. Louis.
I know. You know, he's from, like, St. Louis. He went to Wentzville High.
And he won Survivor.
And he won one of the seasons, and nobody talks about it.
That's my point.
There's no posters. There's not a marquee at this in front of the exit from the highway that says, like, home of whatever the heck his name is.
And that's my point. Like, this person, like, they hired this individual. They're like, hey, you know what? $25 a week, we're going to pay you to blog about the one-hour episode of Dancing with the Stars or Survivor or whatever, like mm-hmm. that. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're so amped to find content in general or stories in general about anything going on, no matter what it is, that they'll regurgitate anything out there,
you know,
hoping that it catches somebody's ear.
Mark, we've had this conversation on one of our previous shows.
Okay.
About the credibility of Wikipedia and whether or not you could do a doctorate thesis using only Wikipedia as your sites.
I think you could at this point.
Now, my question is, since you bring up the blogs, can these blogs be taken as fact that somebody can go through and document something the way it happens? And would you be able to formulate something very concrete out of it? Credible enough.
The real question is, would I care 10 years from now? Honestly, like, you know, you ask an interesting question. Okay. Could you technically? Yes. But the problem is
that they
human opinion. Human opinion is the problem. There's
every blog has its own spin.
The minute you pull it off of the internet, the minute you take it away from the computer side of things where people are reading it, and you turn it into social conversation at a bar, at a restaurant, at someone's house between two normal people,
mm-hmm.
just general human opinion comes in. You know, I have the one friend. We've talked about this on the show. I have the one friend. He thinks these seasons of The Walking Dead that we recently saw are just not up to par, in his opinion. He's a huge zombie fan, just like you. You, on the other hand, also a huge zombie fan. Totally opposite spectrum. You're like,
I like
they're out of order a little bit. They're unique in their own respects. They don't necessarily hit on all the same things in the exact same way that they should. But I really like
them,
what it's...
I allow them creative license, and I like what's going on.
That's my point. You two get into a conversation with each other, it's just going to be, I don't like it, and it's going to be, I do like it. And mm-hmm. that's it. And then it's a conversation that will lead to nothing, no different than the blogger things. And then, at the end of that conversation, you will either accredit or discredit the individual
mm-hmm.
you're discussing things with based off of how they reacted to the things you said. Mm-hmm. Now, you might be smart enough, like I am with a lot of the people who disagree with me on the politics that I throw out there on a week-to-week basis, and just be agree to disagree type people.
Right.
But there's more people that are not agree to disagree people than there are that, like myself, who are willing to agree to disagree.
Yeah, well, most people on the internet like to just flame, and you know, it's just like they'll just go off and just hate speak because they can, and instead of agreeing to disagree, they name call and belittle. And while I guess they're within their right to do that, it doesn't solve anything. Does it make them feel better about themselves?
Maybe. Maybe
not. I don't know why it would, but...
But see, that's the problem, you know, we're in this world, you know, Tony, the last hour, you know, before you got here, Tony was on with me, we were talking about this movie that's coming out called Bully. It's a documentary.
Okay.
That they're trying to get the age requirement lowered from a rated R movie to a PG-13 movie so they can put it in the theater so more people can see it, because it's actually a documentary about a few people or a person specifically. I'm not sure exactly. I don't have the background on it. But... dealing with being bullied. Mm-hmm. And they think it's a very powerful movie that it needs to be seen by a lot of people because it could help in the long run.
And generally speaking, I think that bullying happens a lot in schools.
Yeah, it does. And so a film like this being rated R...
You need to have seen by some of the younger, more impressionable...
Exactly.
People that might be affected by bullying.
I mean, we got into a pretty heated argument before you got here. If you notice, when Tony left, he was not happy. Okay, so we got into a pretty heated
discussion. I'm always happy when Tony's not happy.
Yeah, well, no. Well, we got into a pretty heated discussion, and I just thought it was very...
He's kind of a bully.
It's just one of those situations where, like, you know, my argument was very simple. You know, and we just agreed to disagree on this one. It was the argument was, let them just give it a rated R rating. Who cares if it's a rated R rating? It doesn't even matter, because with video on demand and iPads and the ability to get Netflix on TVs and all these different ways to get content nowadays, it will reach the eyes and the ears of the people it needs to reach the eyes and ears of. You know, and his argument was, well, you know, you can't go. I said that you can go, like, kids could walk, a 12-year-old kid could walk into a Walmart, honestly, grab a copy of Bully off of the shelf, and because it doesn't scream rated R right at the top, you know what I'm saying? They probably will sell the 12-year-old kid that. His argument was, no, they won't. It's against the law, and he's not of age, and this, that, and the other, and they're going to blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, in certain cases, yes. When it's like a violent video game and stuff like that, and they know for a fact that it's Grand Theft Auto, and there's going to be killing and murdering and raping and all that's going on in it. Yeah, the people that are selling this stuff are a little smarter than a rock. So they're probably going to be able to say, oh, the 12-year-old might be too young. So we're going to question him about that.
Here's something about those places that sell, like, DVDs and items like that, that you have to be of a certain age. Like, when you scan that UPC code and it pops up, for a lot of those, you know, mature-rated, you know, video games or R-rated DVDs, or even, in most cases, camping fuel, spray paint.
Right.
Or, you know, booze or whatever. Those DVDs, those rated R DVDs, it'll pop up with a little, you know, like a little pop-up ad that says, is the customer over the age of 18?
Right, of course. It'll pop up on the screen right there, and then you have to tell
them. And then you either have to hit Y or N.
Right. So, like, but beyond that, then what about Netflix? But,
yeah, and you could easily put, oh, yeah, sure he is.
Or just beyond that. Okay, so, yeah, they can't literally buy it from there, but then they could go rent it via the computer from Amazon.com.
Exactly.
And there's nothing to stop them.
Netflix, there's nothing to stop them from watching it, you know, on demand.
Or to even get it pirated, however, like, the word will get out.
Or whenever it hits, you know, on demand or their local cable, you know, provider.
That's my point. That
it's going to hit HBO or Showtime.
And Tony was just totally 100% against that. So regardless of that, you know, let's move on. I got something interesting I want to ask you before the show's over, okay?
Okay.
It's a question. It's a poll for you. And I want to hear from everybody out there. Go to theqnow.com. Hit me up via the contacts link and let me know what your opinion is. Or go to our social media. Go to our Facebook. Go to my Facebook. You can always go to the QCast, at the QCast. That's the actual Twitter page for the Q. And you can put your opinion there if you would like. And I'll definitely talk to you and I'll answer you back and tell you whatever you want to hear. What science fictional scenario is most likely to happen in your lifetime, Matt? Okay.
Okay.
Most likely to happen in your lifetime. And there's something else I definitely want to do when we're done with this, because I think that this is very entertaining and it has to do with Megan's laws. I'm just interested in something. So what science fictional scenario is most likely to happen in your lifetime? You ready? Suspended animation, a moon base, global pandemic, the singularity, which I'm not quite sure what the singularity is.
I believe we actually, on one of our shows on Ramblings, we had our guest Steve on, and we talked about singularity with Steve.
For the people out there that are listening right now who might be, you know, like, do you, like, pull that up real quick. See if you can find out something about the singularity. World War III and nuclear apocalypse or something else. Out of those options that I just gave you, which do you think is the idea that would probably most likely happen in your lifetime? Now, I know this is a difficult question.
It is a difficult
question. It's probably going to require you to sit there with your fingers and your hand right near your mouth. Holding your chin, similar to the famous sculpture.
The thinker. I would probably go with suspended animation.
I think that that's not a bad idea.
Now, the argument can be made.
I would say a moon base, potentially.
That was going to be my second guess.
Well, the one that's on it, okay, of all these, based off of what I'm seeing here, the chances of a global pandemic are a lot easier to believe could happen within our lifetime, our physical life, than anything else, just because we've already seen SARS. We've already seen bird flu. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So, the zombie outbreak?
Yeah. No.
The pending zombie outbreak.
But like a black plague, or like a black plague.
Right.
You know, a black plague has already happened once, which is a global pandemic.
The reemergence of polio.
Yeah, I don't know if we
shingles.
Shingles. A serious shingles. Chicken pox.
It's a serious shingles outbreak.
Have you ever had shingles? Do you know anyone who's ever had shingles? My brother had shingles.
I had chicken pox when I was a kid.
Now, you know what shingles is. It's just getting chicken pox as an adult.
Yeah.
A lot of people, and it killed Al Capone.
Really?
Like, the gangster Al Capone died because, was it syphilis or shingles? I thought that maybe he had syphilis and he got sick with shingles and then it killed him. I always remember, for some reason, and I don't know why, this could be completely wrong, and you're all sitting there turning your radio stations off right now because you don't want to hear an idiot ramble on about something he doesn't know, but I was under the impression, for some reason, from my young years, that there is a correlation between shingles and Al Capone. Somewhere in there. Now, I think that he had syphilis. I'm pretty sure that he had syphilis. And then I'm thinking that it was while he was sick with syphilis, he got shingles, and shingles is what eventually did him in.
Al Capone died of cardiac arrest after suffering a stroke.
Nothing, nowhere clear at all to what I was thinking. wait, but no, let's find out a little bit more past the death, the exact death. Like, he had to have been, like, in his... Neurosyphilis. Okay, so he did have syphilis. Okay, so I was completely wrong about the shingles. So I don't know why I associated shingles at all.
Okay, yeah.
With that.
He had neurosyphilis. His mental and physical health deteriorated. He suffered a stroke, regained consciousness, contracted pneumonia, and suffered a fatal cardiac arrest on the next day.
I don't know why I knew syphilis was in there. But I don't know why I kept thinking shingles. I really don't know now. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I have no idea. Okay, so...
But a global pandemic of shingles.
Possibly. Moonbase is probably not too far away if Richard Branson has anything to do about it.
World War III?
World War III, it probably won't happen. I'm going to go with Moonbase or...
I'm going to go with global pandemic.
Okay.
I'm going to go with a sickness of some sort that they just can't fix.
Okay, now I have looked up singularity. Singularity, okay. And this is cited from Wikipedia.
From Wikipedia?
We could get our doctorate from this.
We could get our doctorate after the end of this.
Technological singularity refers to the hypothetical future emergence of greater than human intelligence through technological means. Since the capabilities of such intelligence would be difficult for an unaided human mind to comprehend, the occurrence of a technological singularity is seen as an intellectual event horizon.
Would this be an artificial intelligence then?
Basically
a robot that becomes self-aware?
I don't know if it's a self-awareness.
Because that would be an Event Horizon type thing.
It is seen as an intellectual Event Horizon beyond which events cannot be predicted or understood. Proponents of the singularity typically state that an intelligence explosion is the key factor of singularity, where superintelligences design successive generations of increasingly powerful minds. So like nanobots designing new nanobots, replication.
So basically, the T-1000 creating the T-2000.
Hyper intelligence giving birth to other intelligent technology.
Which would almost be a self-awareness, like I said.
Kind of, yes.
Interesting. Very interesting. I don't know about...
I think we're far away from that.
Yeah, I don't think we're quite there yet.
We still have people that argue over PC or Mac, so... Probably far away from that.
Right. I understand. And, like, it's just really weird. Okay, before we get out of here on the show, I want to do something real quick. So here's what we're going to do. I want you to search up Megan's Law map. Or Megan's Law State of Missouri map, okay? And do you know what Megan's Law is?
No.
Megan's Law is basically the thing that states that if you're a child predator, right? There you go. Ahead, click that first one. If you're a child predator or a pedophile of some sort, not that this is a cool thing, this is not a good thing, okay, that you have to register mm-hmm. with the state of Missouri, which, where do you stand on that? Do you think that that's right, that they have to register as people? You know, because there's the whole argument that, you know, you can be peeing in public, drunk off your butt, next to a playground or something like that. And if someone calls the police on you and decides to push the issue and press the charges,
you can be a sex offender.
You can become a sex offender and literally have to deal with that.
I don't agree with that aspect of it. Now, if you're, like, whipping it out in a cafeteria where there's tons of people around, that's different. However... we're guys. I mean, I don't know a single guy that hasn't peed outside.
True.
That doesn't make us all sex offenders.
Right. No, and I understand that. Anyway, the point of the Megan's Law situation is it requires these sexual predators and these sex offenders mm-hmm. to state openly that they are sex offenders. They have to let the people who live around them know, you know, your next door neighbors.
Now, if you are a sexual predator.
Right.
And you have been
Deviant.
Convicted.
Mm-hmm.
And prosecuted, I can see where the argument can be made that you need to go on a list. That way people can make an educated decision on whether or not they want you to live around them and their children.
Fair enough.
I can understand that. However, I can also play devil's advocate and say, well, guess what? You were tried, you were convicted, you served your sentence... And now you're done. You've paid your penance by serving your sentence. Now, a lot of people never serve their full sentence. They get out early. They get put on probation or parole.
Good boy. Now, whatever.
Now, if you are still on probation or on parole, I could see you being put on a list.
Right.
But once your slate is clean, then I think you can be taken off the list. Just like rapists are not put on a list. Murderers, armed robbers, homicidal maniacs.
But we know that the reason why they're put on a list or that there's even...
It's to protect the children.
It's to protect because the chances of... It's a sickness similar to alcoholism or anything else. You know, the chances of it popping back up and rearing its ugly head are very, very imminent. Now, it's not guaranteed that it will always happen. There are reformed people who don't do that. There are people who get put on this list. Anyway, the reason I wanted to bring this up, I want to bring up the mapping. Can we bring up the mapping?
I'm looking for the mapping.
No.
That's Mississippi. We want Missouri.
Okay. And I don't know if it's showing you here.
Now, you're looking to see...
I want to see, okay, who has more registered sex offenders around their house? You or me?
Okay.
Who's the big winner? That's what I want to know. Who's the big winner in this situation? Oh, my goodness. You just brought up a bunch of people's faces. That's interesting. That's not quite where I was going with this. No. I want to see the mapping. There's got to be a mapping. I was playing around with it earlier, and there was like a... it doesn't have anything on here about... I know that there's a thing. Like, click on that. Go up. Click on the second one, meganslaw.net. Okay, now, shoot.
Nothing.
I'm so confused now. I know for a fact that I've seen this before. It'll tell you who's got people around your house. Never mind. It doesn't matter. We only got a couple more minutes here left on the show anyway, and I don't want to waste it doing this. But we will eventually, on the queue, get around to this. Obviously, we can't find it.
So who wins?
I don't know
wins. How do you gauge who wins? The person who has more or who has less?
I think whoever has less sex offenders is the big winner, so the other person has to buy them lunch. That's what I'm thinking that I will do with this situation. I just, it's just one of those situations. Plus, I think that you also have to bring into account, like, what the sexual offenses are with. Like, you could have five around your house, and I'd have, like, four around my house. So you have technically more, but yours are all just,
I peed on the side of my own house.
Statutory rape of a girl when, the guy was 19 and she claimed rape, but she was 17. He didn't rape her.
It was their parents
who pushed the issue and stuff like that. You have five of those around your house. I have the guy who diddled the 8-year-old girl for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
Four times. You see what I'm saying? Like, so that's a worse offense type thing. So we'll get to that eventually.
Right. I want
to
end, because we only have about a minute left. I want to end on a positive note.
Oh, just taking the cue over, I see. Okay.
You know how you were talking about ninjas stopping the marijuana, guys?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there's this guy who dresses up as Batman and drives around in his black Lamborghini. Okay?
Okay.
He goes around to hospitals dressed up as Batman. He's got kids of his own, and his kids love the fact that he's dressed up as Batman. Instead of license plates, he has Batman symbols on there. And the reason this became big news a few days ago is that he got pulled over, dressed up as Batman. They let him go.
Bruce Wayne would drive a nice car like a Lamborghini. Let's be honest. He's Bruce Wayne. He's got money.
True. But they let him go. They didn't write him any tickets. And the thing is that he goes around the hospitals. And he goes through these hospitals and he hands out Batman toys, Batman memorabilia. He signs every book, every hat, t-shirt, every backpack he hands out. This guy is a self-made success. And he made all of his success with a commercial cleaning business.
Okay.
And he spends $25,000 a year out of his own pocket on all of these toys and all of this memorabilia, going to all of these different hospitals in the Baltimore area.
That's cool.
Bringing joy and, basically Batman to all of these kids. And the guy's name is Lenny B. Robinson. B for Batman.
I see.
And I just think that that's a really, really good
story.
What
a great...
He spent $5,000 on this Batman suit. There's a picture of him right there.
That's
a really cool Batman suit.
You got to turn that around so I can see it a little bit. Okay. All right. Yeah, I see what it... That is a good Batman suit. And what a positive story to end the queue on. Let's be honest.
We're not all crazy Zimmermans and pedophiles.
That's right. We're not. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for the queue. I want to thank KYRO, 1280 AM. I also want to thank Matthew Kruger for joining me and Tony Cabral.
Thank you so very much for having me on here. I appreciate it.
For having both of those gentlemen on my show today. You are welcome, sir. Anytime, check out theqnow.com for more information about the show, past episodes, future episodes, my bio, all that good stuff. You can find out. You can contact us and all that great stuff. Become our friend on social media. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to get out of here. We'll talk to you guys next time. God bless the United States and God bless all of you.
What's on fire? Trying to block my shot just ain't gonna happen, so don't try. Every time I get on this microphone, I like to spit and get hit up after hit. This chemistry is so legit.